Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we are in McGrady's yard.
Welcome to another episode of the Snowcast. As always, it's Zephon and DJ. I was going to do it the other way.
Yeah, it's DJ. DJ. Yeah.
But we're inside in Yardig O'Grodig. McGrady's yard today. After we were inside in Artland Stores around there today for an Indie Beer Week, and we did a bit of beer tasting, so we'll tell you a bit about that later on. But so just to start off the podcast, as always, we'd like to say a big thank you guys for listening in and for supporting us. We've had a few of you guys have subscribed to our Patreon and actually become patrons of the podcast and given from fucking $2, $5, $10. We have a few tiers set up now. So it's pretty good. We have I've actually quite enjoyed the way we've kind of set up the tiers. There's like different levels that can contribute to the podcast. So tipsy tier, which is $2 a month. And for that you get a shout out on the podcast. You just get the support for like $2. Like they're basically paying like
less than the price of a cup of coffee a month.
Exactly, yeah. And then we have our Leary tier, which is $5 a month. So you're talking at price of a nice pint, a nice macro pint there, I'd say, like, you know.
A macro pint in Dublin.
Yeah.
A nice good quality craft beer down here in Waterford.
So I think for that tier you get a little chunk of souvenir and all.
Discount off merchandise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we also have a well-on tier. $10 a month. So for that, you get all. So for each of them, like, it's a complete additive thing. So you're just gonna get an extra thing per service. But for this one, you get to pick a topic on the show. For our polluted tier, which is $20 and above, what do we have for that? We have a welcome. A welcome pack.
Yeah, a welcome pack that we send a couple of cans out here.
Send a couple of cans out. Yeah, you get to pick a topic. A
couple of cans of beer that has been featured on the podcast at some stage.
But, dog tier.
The mother of all tiers.
The mother of all tiers, which is $50 a month, right? Sounds pricey, but you get fucking...
All of the below.
You get fucking... Like, we will probably have sex with you.
Probably. We're not saying definitely. It's not a contract if you pay it. If we're not entering into a legally binding contract to say that we will. But for that, you get all of the blows. So you get the welcome key ring, shout out, pick a topic, and all the other benefits that you get. Discount on merchandise, Snowcast merchandise should be coming soon. We're working on some of that actually. There's some interesting developments here this week. And also,
you get to appear on the Snowcast
and we're on a pub crawl with us.
Go on,
absolute razz with us for $50 a month. We think it's money well spent. But yeah, we understand like that. Oh, whatever suits your budget, and if your budget at the moment is that you don't have anything to support the Snowcast with, you can still support us by listening, sharing, liking, subscribing, 5-star reviews on iTunes. But please, if you have the price of a cup of coffee a month, less than it, $2 a month, give us grave. And if you have a few more pounds and you think it were worth it, fuck it, we'll take it.
Yeah.
And
even if $2 is too much, I think Patreon will allow up to $1
yeah.
a month payment. So, like, or a minimum.
And the other thing as well is this support isn't funding us drinking. That's not what it is at all. I mean, like, indirectly it is, but if we do get the more support we get, the better guests we can get on the show, the more places we are able to go to visit, to get the more interesting places to have a drink and bring a more diverse show to you. And also then we're going to be able to do a little bit more around quicker productions, maybe even more shows in a week, and develop our videos a bit more. So there's so much to offer from the Snowcast. Again, the best way to support it is give a couple of dollars a month to the Snowcast on Patreon. But also, if you don't have it, like, share, subscribe, tell all your friends. Thanks a million for being with us. So, Owen, let's crack on with the show.
Right. So, we were inside in Arteander today. We had a beer tasting event called Beer Banter Keolog is Crack.
Is it? Keolog is Kind.
Keolog is Kind.
A bilingual beer tasting event.
We had actually a really good reception for it. We had a lot of people came into us inside in Arcade Doors and just moseying around, like looking for a bit of opinions on beers and stuff. And again, we were fucking not experts on beer whatsoever. But we know what we like, and we're after learning a good bit, not from like studying stuff, but actually just from listening to brewers the whole time. So I don't know, a lot of the stuff that brewers have said to us has just kind of been rubbed off.
Stuff off mic as well, the great thing is sometimes we'd be here and Declan being here from Yellowville, you'll have a pint with him and chat and you'll get some fucking gems off him when you're talking about something beers, and then you just pick stuff up as you go.
Yeah, I think actually something that I learned from, I did wine tasting when I was over in Chile, and when I was there, one thing that I learned from it was just say what you fucking taste, regardless of if it's right or wrong.
Everyone's palate is different.
Yeah, and you might just get a hint sometimes. So what was I tasting last night? I think it was. Oh yeah, it was the Galway Bay Buried at Sea Milk Stout. So when I was smelling it, and I was trying to get a smell off it, and I was looking online and stuff, and I was coffee and chocolate or whatever, right? And I was there is that bit of coffee, but I was there's something fucking else here. I was this really, really reminds me of something, right? Next minute I go, it's fucking licorice all sorts. obviously the brand of licorice all sorts off it.
Yeah.
Maybe it is that thing
You open in a bottle over a bag of open licorice all sorts.
Yeah.
Where am I getting this from? Yeah, no, I fully understand where you come from. Today we promote, myself and Owen picked three random beers out, and we're trying to do a broad diversity of beers that we want to showcase for the tasting in our King Stores. And then to celebrate Independent Beer Week, people were asking us about other types of beers and trying to tell us what they like, and we were trying to map an equivalent craft beer to the macro that they like. On my end, I displayed the Helles Lager from Larkin's beer in Kildare, because Helles Lager is a really good gateway beer to people who aren't used to craft beer and just want to develop their palate that bit and kind of venture into it with an open mind, but they don't think that they can take the more powerful flavours of American Pale Ale, Indian Pale Ale and beyond that. I also threw out the gingerbread beer from Ballyclickhaven, which I think is a very good festive beer, and actually a good few of them sold today. People were really interested in that. I thought that would might be the one that would garner least interest in the middle of summer. There's an awful lot of people really interested in that. And it's a gingerbread beer. There's only a light touch of ginger in it, but it's very cinnamony, I think, very festively, that kind of, bit of spiciness to it. And it's a fairly clean finish, like, there's not too much bitterness in the finish. And then the last one that I had up was the Scraggy Bay by Kinnegar in Donegal. And we actually sold out of it today. And it is really hoppy, real intense, real herbal, and it's fucking delicious. Like, I could have drank it all day. I pretty much have.
It's a nice aroma also, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. It was like I suppose it was like last bank holiday. It brought me back to bank holiday weekend May last year when we were on over in the dam. Self yourself, son and dad.
Like you've been in a coffee shop.
Yeah, bang a coffee shop off it, but in a good way. It's a brilliant aroma off it, lovely taste, full of fruit flavour. So, Owen, you had a couple of beers as well.
So I had Mine Ahead by the Dungarvan Brewing Company. So I mentioned that Galway Bay buried a seam on there, which was a stout.
A mid stout, yeah.
And that was delicious, really. Like, lovely coffee taste off it, like really chocolatey and stuff. Pretty smooth as well. But I had, by Dungarvan, I had that Mine Ahead, and that was an American beer. That was lovely, really kind of fruity, and I really, like, I was like sick away on that at home. Like, I actually think, like, I've been on the beer now comparing to that event. So, like, normally, like, I come in, enjoy like one or two beers and go home, but like actually the last day or so I've done a vlog on, like, I'm trying to defer this hangover by like 2 hours.
Pushing it on,
like, because I can get the kind of creeping hangover. But yeah, anyway, that Dungarvan, the Mine Ahead, fucking really, really, really nice one. And I also had, what's it called?
You had
KPA by Black.
But then KPA Black. So people who regularly listen to Snowcast know that a couple of weeks ago we recorded in Jeff's bar in Waterford, and we were both on the KPA that night, I think. It's a big favourite of ours, and it also was featured on our first ever YouTube video, Snowcast Taste, which actually the second video has gone down a treat, and we hope to record the third Snowcast Taste in store in our Keynes next week and have it out to you the week after and have the June episode out in 2 weeks' time. Really enjoying doing the videos in our Keynes food, quality food stores, and really want to just state for the record, like, they've been absolutely fucking brilliant with us. So thanks so much to Arkeen for inviting us in today, having us, and, like, let's be honest, putting up with us, because we went to the Cove Bar today and had a few pints before we went in there, and we showed up a couple of pints in, and there was laughter flowing through the aisles of Arkeen quality food stores for 2 hours this afternoon.
We had to do a bit of research after the beers and stuff that we were promoting there. Well, not promoting, but like just getting our voice on, really. That KPA by
Black's Black Sale, Black, yeah.
Right. So, in my research on the website, right, their own website they have, so it was Sam and Magdalene back in 2010. Valentine's Day, she gave Sam a home brewing kit, right? And then 3 years later, ended up like opening fucking Black's Brewery.
It's a brilliant brewery.
It's not a class story, like.
So, Niamh, Ciara, if you're listening, Valentine's Day, get us a brew kit. Actually, Sonia bought us one for Christmas, and we haven't gone near it yet, so maybe we'll do a little snow test.
Is there any brewers out there that give us a lash at just bringing out a limited edition
brew? We're well up for it. Absolutely. And look, I just want to say as well that really enjoyed the time in Arkeen there today, had a good laugh. And the whole point of this is Indie Beer Week. Irish Independent Beer are celebrating Indie Beer Week this week, and there are some fantastic Irish craft beers out there. So again, tying in with everything with supporting local, support local beers, support local produce, which Arkeen Poly Food Store is all about. And you can't go wrong with local. Just look after the local lads, because you know what? We actually have some of the best produce in the world here in Ireland. And if you are visiting Ireland from abroad and you're one of our overseas listeners, absolutely go gung ho for local stuff, because it is top notch. So lads, that's been just the two of us for now. We've got a couple of friends coming out to join us.
It could be just the two of us
after. Like, we might be cutting this little section out. A couple of mates coming in now to join us for a pint, and we're going to record a little bit with them. So thanks a million for coming along. And also, Owen, I just want to give a little quick shout out tonight to the Portlaoise Pub Club. I'm heading up to meet the boys tonight. P Peter and the boys here tonight. Going in up there tonight into Kavanagh's pub. Looking forward to it, lads. We're going to have a bit of crack tonight.
Actually, speaking of shout-outs, better give a shout-out to Fergus MacDonald, our newest Patreon subscriber.
Newest Patreon subscriber.
So, yeah, he's subscribed and he's getting his shout-out on the podcast now. So
Fergus, there's a clink of the glass to you.
Hey.
But man yourself. Back with the boys in a minute.
We didn't even say what we're drinking tonight.
No, we talked about the beers that we were trying to sell earlier, like, but what are we drinking tonight?
Yeah, DJ, what are you drinking tonight?
So I am on a limited release from Yellow Belly in Great Isard. It's Stormborn. It is, obviously the name is a play on the surname of Daenerys Targaryen, Daenerys Stormborn from Game of Thrones, because Yellow Belly lads, like ourselves, are big fans of Game of Thrones. And it is an IPA. It's a 4.6 or 4.8%. I can't remember off the top of my head. One of in and around that. I think it's 4.6. And it uses a really old hop that isn't used that often now. Bramling crossed with the Hell Melon hops that leaves you with this lovely, vibrant, beautifully finished pale ale. There's a bit of pineapple in it, a bit of blueberry in it. Like it's that kind of
leaves.
Lubes. It's that kind of almost borderline, it's not sweet, it's fruity, but like the most subtle tartness in it. Low carbonation as well, so it's not, it's like there's low enough level of carbonation in it, so it's not gassy, so like it's actually a lovely smooth drink to drink, but you get that beautiful punchy fruitness from it. I'm really fucking enjoying it. Like, they sold out of it last week in 20 hours and they had to get more kegs in. 20 hours, fastest selling beer they've ever had here.
Oh,
no. I've noticed up being there.
Thanks.
Yeah, you definitely get the blueberry ones.
You actually do,
like, it's not nonsense. It is very, very aromatic in the flavour. It's beautiful, it's a really nice drink. And yeah, pity it's a limited edition because, like, that would be a brilliant staple.
Yeah, it would be, I'm sorry, I'm so half a German sentence of a subtle level of tartness.
I was going to say, like many of my ex-girlfriends that has a subtle level of tartness. Which is why I keep going back to it.
I'm drinking Castaway, which I've described a million times on podcasts throughout the years.
Oh, for any new listeners, Stonecast.
Yeah.
Passion fruit sour from Yellow Belly Bear staple. Can't go wrong. It's fucking beautiful.
Yeah, just tangy, like fucking a load of starburst in your mouth. Like,
yeah, but if you're new to craft beer, I wouldn't recommend going straight in with that because it's one that you need to have a little bit of an acquired palate for.
Yeah.
It's not the most intense of the sours, but it's quite a nice sour. Like,
but for people who don't like beer. Actually might be a quite, like, if you like maybe ciders, like if you're like quite, I don't know, say if you like sweet ciders or, you know, kind of a different tasting drink to like your general beer, then
definitely any of our friends that have come in here with us that don't drink beer, they'll do a taste of the Castaway and they will generally tend to enjoy a glass of it, a pint of it.
Yeah, a few wines and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so, I suppose, next up is our first proper topic of the show, and today, yesterday was the elections. So we have local elections, European elections, and a plebiscite here in Waterford. I think it was also in Cork and Limerick for whether there should be an elected mayor. And there was also the divorce referendum on reducing the number of years for a divorce to be legitimate, or to be able to go for divorce, the years of separation from 4 years to 2 years. So we're just going to go over, this sounds a bit boring for political chat, but like I think it's quite pertinent,
especially in the current climate
as well.
Yeah, this little corner of the world at the moment, when you look at the fact that like there's European elections, like it's mad that there's European elections taking place in Britain after they voted to leave Europe but haven't agreed how they're going to leave, and now all of a sudden they have to vote new representatives in Europe.
Yeah.
So it's a bit mad, and also you had Theresa May quitting yesterday as well. So it's quite topical at the moment. We're going to release this podcast like this is Saturday. We're going to release this on Monday, so it is quite topical. Like it's boring, but like it's kind of like someone said to me like during the week when they listened back to last week's episode of Finn, they were like, "Geez, I always found history boring," but like that wasn't boring to listen to at all because
yeah.
You were talking about it over pints in a different in a non-academic fashion. So yeah, absolutely, fucking.
I suppose like so far with the exit polls and stuff, it shows that like where elsewhere in Europe where like there has been maybe sort of rebellious nature that has caused quite a, like a populist right wing kind of reaction to things, whereas here it seems to be the opposite.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a really interesting headline yesterday that was like that basically Netherlands, the right in Netherlands has basically collapsed on these elections, and very much like people voted very anti-right, which I think is a great thing, obviously, because I don't belong on the right side of politics at all. I mean, like from R-I-G-H, not correct, like side of politics, or is there a correct side? But that was really encouraging. And here now, like you see, like the European elections, the Green Party seem to have like basically been the huge, massive gains. I don't think they got a single TD elected in the general election 2 years ago. Whereas now, all of a sudden, they've probably got four MEPs based on exit polls. Like this podcast will be published when the results are out, we're recording before they are officially out. But it looks like they're going to have it, 4 out of 8 MEPs are going to be from the Green Party, and like.
I think it's really important. Like, I think there's been like such a reaction to like climate change. I think that's the big issue that the Green Party has pushed, and that everyone is reacting to. That like there's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can do on a local level. Like we're recycling. We're fucking going to bottle banks. We're doing as much as we can without like being ludicrous. But like. These pressures need to be come in at a European level and at a national level. So like there needs to be like bigger incentives for changing over to like electric cars if that's the thing.
I've seen like the immediate reaction to the exit polls and comment sections on Facebook, Twitter and other bits of social media is all great, the Greens, that'd be more carbon tax and wanna be paying €2 a litre for petrol and diesel and stuff like that. And I'm kinda like, yeah, but like, you know, Fine Gael brought in USC 10 years ago as a temporary measure and it's still here now.
Yeah.
Even though austerity has ended, they're championing that austerity has ended, yet we're still paying universal social charge through our tax base.
Yeah.
And it was only ever mentioned that it would be if you're going to say, oh my God, they're going to carbon tax you, well, carbon tax actually is a good idea, because if you can introduce a carbon tax and then counterbalance that with incentives to reduce your carbon footprint, as in tax credits on the other side, then it neutralizes itself. Whereas, like, USC is just a general taxation that takes it out of everyone.
But that's the problem with these things. Like, the fucking, like, the USC, like, let's say, is like a one sided tax. Like,
yeah.
where are you getting the return on the other side? And it's the same with the sugar tax, right?
Yeah.
Like we're getting like a sugar tax put in on like it's fizzy drinks at the moment. Right, but that'll increase the other items in the future, right? But where's the incentive? Where's the reduction in price of fruit and vegetables? Exactly. Do you know where is the
our farmers who are producing fruit and vegetables getting tax credits?
Yeah.
Are they getting incentivized? Are they getting tax credits on buying better machinery to, I suppose, increase their output? So like it's this kind of balance where like it's easy to sit down and say, oh my God, you voted for the Greens, they're going to introduce higher carbon taxes. Yeah, but if they introduce, basically if they can introduce like serious tax credits to say like, all of a sudden you pay less VAT on electric car, for example.
Yeah.
So you're going to get, every time you buy an electric car, you get say €4,000 tax back as a rebate.
Yeah.
Because you purchased an electric car. If you can genuinely demonstrate that you implement the cycle to work scheme every single day, then you get an extra say €2,000 a year in your tax credits.
Yeah.
Well then, fucking pay your extra carbon tax all you want. I drive a diesel car at the moment. I don't want to drive a diesel car. I don't want my next purchase to be a diesel car. you kind of have to at the moment out of necessity because you don't have enough charging points, you don't have this and other.
See, that's another thing as well. How, like, it needs to be, exactly. It needs to be that infrastructure that puts in.
And like, how do you fund that infrastructure? It's the only through taxation.
Yeah.
And what do? Do you increase the corporate tax rate then to fund that? Because if you increase the corporate tax rate, then do you decrease foreign direct investment in an era where Brexit's happening and where are, as much as like us as people who like endorse the Irish language and love the Irish language, like, sometimes I loathe to admit it, we are an English-speaking country. Ultimately, if Britain does leave the EU, then we are the English-speaking country left in the European Union.
Yeah.
So, like, there are pros and cons to everything. Like, if you're going to be negative with the Green Party getting into Europe and say, yeah, but they're going to increase carbon tax, it's fairly narrow-minded. Like, there are so many other taxes out there that are unjust and unequal. And a carbon tax for me is just and equal.
Yeah, I like it. So, yeah, the EU for the... like, you know, go green for the EU. I think it's definitely not something that we should look into. Like, it's fucking like the environment is being destroyed.
It impacts everyone in every corner of the world because if, like, I know people say, oh, but if you vote for the Greens, like, what difference does it make if Ireland reduces its carbon emissions? It's grand to say that, like, and it's grand, but like, if we can set the example and everyone else can follow suit, then we actually have a chance. One thing's for certain, we're ruining the fucking planet.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's a good point there, us setting an example and everyone follow suit, because, say, like, the smoking ban in Ireland.
Smoking ban.
Yeah, that was such a good invention for us all. And, look at us here now in this pub. Like, I am thoroughly enjoying this clean air environment.
Yeah.
I used to hate as a kid going into pubs or remember in restaurants as well, you have this non-smoking, smoking table side.
Yeah.
And if there was no non-smoking tables available, you had to be stuck at a smoking table.
Stuck at a plume.
Plume, just terrible. People smoking next to you, I say, I love the environment.
Yeah. I'm all for the Green Party and do you know what, they were the minor party in a government here in Ireland about 14-15 years ago, and a government that eventually led to an economic recession that was part of a worldwide recession, but the major party in that government, Fianna Fáil, were fucking great, and the Greens got an awful lot of slack, and yeah, they endorsed increased carbon taxes and stuff like that, but they got an awful lot of unfair slack in that as well. And ultimately the thing with the Green Party is everyone that was involved back then are pretty much gone now. They've got a whole new slew of candidates. Maybe, I don't know. I haven't looked into it in that level of detail. A whole new slew of young, energetic, really enthusiastic candidates. Like, Saoirse McHugh is a woman who came to fame last year in Ireland, went viral last year because of her reactions to certain events on TV. And 12 months later, she's standing for election. And it looks like she's been elected for the Green Party. And it's just these inspirational people who are using common sense and trying to fight for the environment. And you know what? If they fucking increase carbon tax. So what? If they abolish UOC and introduce tax credit incentives to fucking offset it, and it makes you be a better human being for the planet, people who have voted for the Green Party know they're voting for carbon taxes. You go in, if you strike down on the ballot and say, I am voting for the Green Party, you know what you're voting for. None of them are hiding behind, none of them are saying we're not going to increase carbon tax.
Yeah.
So if you're part of the population that doesn't like the Green Party, we're sorry, but we're happy for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Simple as that. And Europe is where the Green Party can actually make an effect. Local government, probably not as much.
No. So, this is only meant to be green for
now. Yeah.
Local government, what do you think of local councils? Who would you say...
I don't think it makes as much difference when you're in, say, Dublin, where a lot of central government policy directly affects Dublin. A lot of central government policy over the last, certainly in the last government cycle, has neglected the South East. So I think if you're voting for people who are either in local or in central government parties, or in parties who are propping up the central government at the moment in the South East, you vote for them. I think you're basically voting for neglection of the South East, where we're based as a podcast. And where we live and go for about our day-to-day jobs and lives. So I think when you're looking at local government, you have to look at what has the central government done, and do we need an ulterior local government to actually achieve something?
Yeah.
And I think you look at, say, it can go both ways. You look at Liverpool in the 1980s, where they voted very much for a radical left-wing local government, and they very much clashed with the right-wing conservative central government, and it actually led to a decrease in funding in the area. So it's a tight balance. But that being said, like why would you vote for the current parties in government at the moment, when they have pretty much done nothing for the Saudis to begin with?
Yeah, so, okay, my take on, like, local government is, basically, if you're going for someone who's going for, like, re-election, just see what they've done locally, you know, go for that. But I think, ultimately, on a local level, you're not going to influence that much that has been dictated from a national level. So, like, regardless of what party you are, whether you are the, like, controlling... if you are part of the party that
the majority,
the majority in government, like, even if you're like, hold on now, what about us? Like, you're not going to have a say at all anyway. So, like, I don't think it really matters.
It is a good point, because if I was in Cork, definitely the person, if I was to live near Blarney, the person who I think is the absolute best candidate for local councillor there happens to be with Fine Gael, who I am very anti.
Yeah.
But I think he would be the best guy for Blarney and the surrounding area.
Exactly, yeah.
So I would probably, like, I would, without a shadow of a doubt, 100 times out of 100, give, like, Damien Boylan as the candidate, like, I'd give Damien my vote 100 times out of 100. And then in a central government election, there's no chance in the next one I'll vote Fine Gael. But he's a Fine Gael councillor then, you know? So
I actually don't think on local government it actually matters.
Party politics isn't as important.
Party politics doesn't matter that much.
So you've basically discredited my whole, like, spiel earlier, which is fine, because you actually made a great point, and then I ended up agreeing with
you.
That's politics, kid.
Politics, what else was there? There was the divorce referendum, that was a fucking no-brainer. Like,
I mean, for me, like,
I think it's 87% to say exposed to
like, I mean, decrease it, like, what's the, what, like, I don't see any benefit to holding people in a marriage if they don't want to be in it.
Nah, the only thing it leads is that I own an institute
jumping. So, like, they've been on the wrong side of pretty much every argument in our adult lives. Yeah. So, like, well, in our opinion, the wrong side. It's a funny thing, like, because I see, like, in like, I saw a sign today. I'm not going to name the person who was running for election, right? But I saw a sign today outside the hospital in Waterford for a local candidate who is a young male in his 20s, I imagine, white male. And there's a big sign, like, vote for this person for new ideas. And their leaflet came in our door one day, and I happen to have a look at all the leaflets just to see what they are. I don't agree with the fact that they produce so many fucking mass leaflets and throw them in anyway.
Yeah. Even I have to say, for Green Party, like, the amount of posters and stuff like that's going on. Like,
minimal.
Are they repurposing them? Like, what's going on? Like,
I hope they are, yeah.
I hope they are.
But this particular candidate, the first thing on his information leaflet says pro-life.
Yeah.
And I kind of looked at it and thought, like, that sign says for new ideas. That's the old idea. Like, we've gotten rid of that idea. Do you know what? The amount of hypocrisy in there. And I also thought, like, why are you putting that on a leaflet when we've had a referendum last year and it's taken out of the constitution?
Yeah.
Like, the only thing you have to gain from it is bitter old people who voted against it. And it could be a tactic, just if I get 9-10% of the vote here, I get on the council.
If people do a rebellious vote against what was good voted already.
But that's it.
And then our plebiscite, so vote for a directly elected mayor. So this is only to do with Waterford, Cork and Limerick county councils.
Yep, correct.
So what do you think? What do you make of it?
So the whole premise of it is, at the moment, councillors get paid
30-something thousand
a year before tax, and the council is made up of however many councillors, and then the councillors each year vote a new Lord Mayor in, and that Lord Mayor has a term of 1 year. And naturally enough, voting by the councillors, so it very much depends on councillors who have voted in as to who will get in to be a Lord Mayor. And then in a term of Lord Mayor, you only have 12 months. Whereas the whole thing is, if you vote a directly elected Lord Mayor for 5 years, pay him 120 grand a year, which is a big jump, I will admit. But the counter argument to that is you're not going to get someone who's going to be freaking good enough to do a significant job from less money. I think directly elected more, if you want change at local level, and you have to consider what can you change at local level. Change at local level is like infrastructure and stuff like that. If you want all that kind of stuff to take place, very little happens in 12 months politically, and the amount of time it takes for these public corporations to move paperwork and shit like that and actually get stuff over the line, you can get a new Lord Mayor in 11 months' time who has no interest in building another bridge at May Park, or no interest in building, do you know, another access point to the city, or trying to decrease the bottleneck of traffic coming into the city.
Yeah.
That mightn't be on their agenda. Their agenda might be, you know, increasing urban development and urban sprawl or something. So then all of a sudden you've done all this work for one thing and a new person comes along with new priorities. So they start working on this and then they don't have the time to implement that. And nothing actually ends up being fucking done. And you end up with these semi-developed developments that we have now. You end up with one access point to the city from one side. So I'm much in favour of it. I think Lord Mayor 5 years, I think you have to pay them good money if you want to get good candidates. I think directly elected, then they are actually accountable. And if you put in place methods that mean that they can be removed if they're not doing an adequate job at short notice, yeah, all for it.
Yeah. I suppose the only thing I'd say about your points there is that, like, there's a mayor at the moment actually has that much of an executive function that they can, like, hold, like, say, you know, it's not on their agenda or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, does that actually matter that much? Are they more of a figurehead, like, than anything else?
Possibly, yeah, but the Lord Mayor is being elected by the councillors, so the council will have pretty much run in line with what the Lord Mayor is looking to achieve. So the Lord Mayor is a reflection on the general consensus of the council. So if the council has that consensus, that's going to be their outlook. And I think if you have a directly elected mayor, then everyone has the capacity to hold everyone to account.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas
yeah.
At the moment, the Lord Mayor isn't accountable to anyone. And as you said, what's the point in paying a figurehead 30 odd grand a year to swan around in a car and go visit schools and do nothing else?
Well, if you guys have directly elected mayor in wherever you're from, let us know how that's getting on, and we might take a passive bit of judgment then. But
from Carolina to Kathmandu, how are your mayors doing?
How is your mayor for you?
We're looking for ideas. We've no mayor here.
Yeah, that was good. Good little chat there.
Yeah, we accidentally talked for 20 minutes about politics, and we were like, and literally in the agenda it says brief election chat.
Yeah, and look, we'll go for a quick break there and see if we'll...
Yeah, absolutely. Bladder's full, we'll come back and we'll have a little chat and we'll drive on from there. Thanks a million, lads.
Right, we're back in the room there, and we have to try and think of a topic quite quickly there.
Yeah, so, we're fairly unorganised podcast-wise this week because we've been so busy with other things that we're like...
Yeah.
Just showed up here today. We showed up here after the beer test just to record the podcast.
We just have a bit of a chat. So when we were on the pitch break there, we said, what's your vineyard, like, big reactions to the end of TV shows? So just for...
I have a pun. So this has been Stormborn out of the end of Game of Thrones last week.
Oh, Jesus. So just... before we talk anymore, we will be talking about the endings of TV shows.
So Game of Thrones, I'll definitely bring up Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
there'll be a couple of shows.
There'll be a couple of shows. We might just say the shows, like, distinctly beforehand.
Yeah.
And then
I am now talking about.
You're drinking Stormborn here tonight.
Yeah.
So,
spoiler alert for Game of Thrones, if you haven't seen the end of it, Daenerys dies in the last episode. firstly, I want to point out, have you seen the Jimmy Kimmel April Fool's prank with the actress who plays Arya Stark?
Maisie Williams.
So, for the Jimmy Kimmel show, before the new series was launched, there's this thing where she's like to the live audience. Obviously, Jimmy Kimmel's recording in front of a live audience, and Maisie Williams is like, it was fairly emotional recording the last series. Like, obviously, Arya dies in episode 2, and then she's like, oh my god, she's like, you can't release that. Oh my god, I hope they're not recording.
like, I will, like, she was like, I want to get in so much trouble, and she starts like pretend crying, and Jimmy Kimmel was like, oh my god, we can start recording again, and Jimmy Kimmel was like, right, so I'm here with Maisie Williams, and he's like, and then she's like, I'm sorry, and then she runs off. So then Jimmy Kimmel looks at the audience like, oh my god, like, what are we going to do? So he walks over to the curtain, and then the curtain pulls back, and they're like, April Fools!
Oh, so good.
Arya Stark does not die in the second episode of the final series of Game of Thrones.
Oh!
And also, just, if you look up, go onto Twitter right now, when you're finished this podcast, go onto Twitter. Go into the search bar and just search Arya Knife Switch. It is the greatest, and apparently she's left-handed, she does that Knife Switch right-hand. Like, the amount of hours you need to put in to perfect that. So, again, spoiler, she kills the Night King with a Knife Switch of hands and a little quick chip.
Yeah, well, so, I was reading an article there today. So, anyway, right, we were disappointed with the
Yes, very much. We were in the disappointed category. Not in the so disappointed we're going to sign a fucking petition category.
No, but just on the fact that it's eight seasons, years of this whole thing, 9 years, which is like, I think, a year and a half break between two of the things. But, like, for fuck's sake, like, you could have just...
It's a bit like, for me, it was like, it wasn't a terrible ending. It wasn't as bad as people are making out, but it was bad. And it was so good up to that point that it was blatantly, the last two episodes were blatantly rushed. And they were trying to force this ending on. And it just felt to me a bit like rushed is the only word to describe it. Poorly thought out. And it's only poorly thought out relative to how much in-depth thought it went into every other part of the rest of the series.
Well, that's because George R. R. Martin had directed the other series, just like thought out, and he had everything like laid out. Whereas, it definitely seemed as if he was just like, look, lads, I have the hit points here that I know how the series focus was going to end, and this is in my head what it's going to end. It's going to end as Bran is going to get on the throne.
Bran the Broken.
Bran the Broken's going
to get on the Banjaxed.
Cersei's gonna die in the hands of Jaime Lannister. You know, Arya's gonna fucking whatever.
She's gonna sail off to the
Restaurants. Yeah. And just have like a few hit points that they told the lads, right? And instead of the lads being anyway inventive and like taking the thing as their own, they just ended up being like, yeah, Bran, we'll take those hit points and we'll just do those.
Squash them in.
Rush through those and run it. So it's a rather class. Article today from Maisie Williams, right? And she was saying, as she was reading the final script, right, of Game of Thrones, she was just like, I thought the character arc of Arya Stark was going to be like to kill Cersei, finish her 100%. Life, right? And she was like, I thought I should be the one to kill Cersei, even if it meant that I have to die. Right?
Yeah.
So she was saying, which I think is class, right?
Would have been class if she killed Cersei and then Jaime came in and duped her like.
Right, but her that would be good, right? But she was saying that her vision while reading the script was herself and Cersei down in the crypts at the end, right? With the fucking no passage out, the whole thing crumbling around, right? She goes to hold Jaime. She pulls off the fucking Jaime mask. Like, she's a person of many faces, both of them died anyway. But that would have been fucking so good. But no, just...
Yeah. I think it was very rushed. I would disagree with you on one point. You said the lads weren't inventive and just kind of went along with it. I think they over-Americanized it. I'm just after insulting 30% of our listeners, but they over-Americanize it in the sense of very rushed, very bland, a bit two-dimensional, and even, like, some of the better American sitcoms, TV shows that are longer in nature. Say, for example, a similar thing, like Sons of Anarchy I love Sons of Anarchy. They just kept going on with the character arcs, like they follow the plot. And granted, like, sometimes you want deviations, but I mean, come on, Jon Snow killing your one is grand, but even at that,
Jon Snow kills Daenerys, and like, serious spoilers here. Jon Snow kills Daenerys, and then like the screen goes black, and then it's like 3 weeks time, and they're all like meeting around the table. I'm like, how was he apprehended? And blah blah blah. It's to be honest with you, I just thought like, myself and Eve watched it together, and we just kept laughing at the fact that he was called Bran the Broken, and that was the only actual fucking entertaining bit of it. And to counterbalance that with a show that I thought lost itself a bit in the middle.
Yeah.
Counterbalance that with a show that I thought lost itself a bit in the middle, but ended on an absolute fucking bombshell, was Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Like, there was elements of series 3 and series 4 Breaking Bad that were drawn out a bit and dragged out and a bit boring.
Again, for the listeners, we are now talking about
Breaking Bad. Sorry, I didn't do it. We are now talking about Breaking Bad. If you haven't seen Breaking Bad, grand. If you're going to only start it off right now, what you'll probably hear, you'll have forgotten by the time you finish. But if you're in the middle of it and you're about to finish it, probably stop and come back to this episode later on and see if you agree with us. The end of Breaking Bad, like, is, to be honest with you, like, Walt is one of the greatest characters I've ever come across in a TV series. I've never come across a character that I've wanted to succeed so much and hated so much in the one breath.
Yeah.
And the writing of Breaking Bad, but not just the writing, because the writing of Game of Thrones is ingenious, but the directing of Breaking Bad throughout is fantastic. And I think the writing lets it down in the middle, but the directing still plays up to it.
Yeah.
And I was like, last night I was talking to my brother Mark one stage last night about Breaking Bad, and he mentioned the Flea episode, and he was like, what the fuck is that about? And I said, actually, the Flea episode for me was one of the most intriguing ones, because it just showed Walt's fucking psychological fragility, because he's so on edge the whole time that just something so small as a flea can set him off and bring him off on a tangent and make him all fucking cracked. But ultimately, if he just stuck to task, like, he'd become, like, he'd make a shitload of money and everything would be smooth.
Yeah.
And it was Walt's mental cracks that ultimately gave it the story. Like, that's the story, is Walt's mental fragility. That's what the whole series is about. Like.
Oh, it's amazing, though. But, like, even, like, when I was watching, I think it was, like, coming up towards the end of it there. I know, it was just after the end of it came out. And they released a video of Walt and Jesse, so Bryan Cranston and
Paul. Chris Paul is a basketball player. No, Jesse Pinkman is. Ah, fuck me.
Anyway, Jesse, right, so the two of them.
I follow him on Twitter.
Are reading the end lines of Breaking Bad, so they're in a room together and they're like, it's them them being recorded of them reading the script. And like, you can just see like Walt's face, where he's so excited by the whole thing, and he's just like, you know, he's like, there's a bit where he's just like, and you know, the turret comes in with the car, and he's like, and he's reading it, and like, you can see him like bringing his hand up in the air, and like even like he's nearly directing the thing, whereby like he's like envisioning his hand as the turret, and he's like nearly picturing what the scene is going to be like. And like, you can see the smile on both their faces, and they're so fucking incredulous by the whole thing, saying like, this is like basically such a great way to end the whole thing, like, you know. And
but that was so it, like,
where that is like a complete counterpoint to like Maisie Williams, where she was like, she was like, it's a good ending for Arya, but like, you know, I would have preferred if, you know, and then.
But and the thing about it was like, Game of Thrones has some amazingly strong female characters.
Yeah.
And yet it's the weakest male character ends up on the throne.
But that doesn't bother me.
Doesn't bother me as much.
That doesn't bother me as much, but it's like, it's the fact that like, and Arya was sent out to sea.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and that's the end of her like story.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think they tried to cover it up by putting down fucking the Stark banner on the ship, as if to say like, she's in charge of this, like, and I was kind of like, no, she's fucking off, like, whereas like, and like, in fairness, the other Stark girl, Sansa, like, grant, she's now Queen of the North and something like that, I thought that was a fitting ending for her. But I think Sansa's the only one who really got the ending that they deserved out of it, out of all of them, you know. Everyone else it was a bit kind of like, and I'm directing the film,
even like John, whatever about like, okay, give him a sad ending or whatever, like, that's fine. But like, don't give him a pointless ending of like, you know, throw him back up to the Night's Watch chair. For what? What's he watching? Nothing. Like, there's nothing for him to watch.
I genuinely thought when they were all walking out into the woods at the end of the thing, that like, it would skip to like another part of the beyond the wall, and there would just be like a dead body that would open and blue eyes or something, and that would be the end of it.
Yeah.
And then that would have been a fucking mind blowing ending. Like,
yeah. We're gonna have to tag this bit as Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad.
Yeah, spoiler left, right, and center.
Compared to
the ending of other shows that you watch, like that you get really invested in, because Game of Thrones is something that people have been heavily invested in for a decade.
Yeah.
It's so like, you can't say, oh, it's only a show. Like, people have genuinely been heavily invested in this for a decade. I only came to it about 2 years ago. I watched the first series when it came out first, and I never came back to it until Sonya, Queen of the Snow, forced me to watch it. It was like, you have to watch it. Like, when I watched it, and I got really into it. I just think, like, I remember when I finished it, and it was like a year to the final series, and I was like, oh fuck, like, I probably should have held off 6-7 months and watched it then. But I had this impression of it in my head, and the last series, like, while I didn't think the start of the last series was as bad as people made out, the end of the last series, I think, is genuinely terrible. And I just feel a bit let down. I feel like they've rushed it, and they did in 6 episodes, wasn't it?
Yeah, 6, yeah.
They did in 6 what they... They've tried to fit 10 episodes really into 6. And it comes across.
Yeah. Have you ever watched The Sopranos?
I've watched bits of it. I have never seen it through. And it's something that I have always intended to watch. And just every time I go to watch it, every time I go to try and watch it, I end up putting something else on. So Mad Men, I'm in the middle of it now at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was supposed to be a Sopranos slot, and Mad Men just showed up, and I was like, everyone says Mad Men's great, I'll watch that.
I won't ruin the ending of Sopranos for you.
Please don't, because I'm one of the...
But it is very...
when I go, you can add it to the... record yourself.
Yeah, yeah. But that is very divisive. I absolutely love the end of Sopranos. It's most artistic, amazing way in the show. It's one of those
endings
that gives no definite answer.
Yeah, it brings you on to a certain point as well. There are certain shows that know when to end.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Five seasons, or six seasons now.
I think it depends on, it depends on the show. Like, Friends went for, 20 seasons or something like that. Well, there's 10 seasons. It's only 10 seasons of Friends, but it ended when it should have ended.
Yeah.
If they did any more, it would have fucked it. If they did any less, it wouldn't have had certain elements that endears it to you.
A few bad series in the middle of Friends, but they fucking...
But there's so many prevalent characters in it, they redeem it in a certain sense. Every episode has a redeeming feature. Whereas I think, like, you look at... Certain things have gone on too long, and I don't think Game of Thrones went on too long. I think just rushed ending, and I know that there was parts of that was the actors that wanted to be cast type and stuff like that, but... It genuinely brings you on to like certain things went on far too long, and that's a bit of an issue. Like, 100% on board with that. But like, that's a bit of TV chat. We haven't chatted TV in a while, actually. So it's good to have a chat about that. And should we call it a day at that?
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, we'll be back next week with another episode of the Snowcast. Thanks a million for tuning in. Like we said earlier on in the episode, please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, share our stuff, 5-star rating on iTunes. Let your friends know, support us on Patreon. You can support us for less than the price of coffee a month, a cup of coffee a month, $2 for the tipsy tier, $5 for the leery tier. We think it's good value for money. Thanks a million, all, and parting word for the listeners.
My father's here to collect me, so I'm off. Hello.
Liam, on the ball, kid.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better. Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.